let me know. Those that have spoken with me thus far, I 40 RSVP us, so we're good there. But if you haven't spoken, like, immediately back, is there anybody else here that hasn't spoken? Okay. I figured that'd be the case, so I'm just going to assume that's it. But I'll get with those families here in a bit about the details as far as us getting out of here. And then we've got homeschool field trip coming up in a couple more weeks to the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. So that's right here in 2 cents, right up the road, actually, just not far from the church building at all. And we're going to have a great time there, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. We need to be there walking through the door at 9 o'clock. And don't show up at 9, otherwise we're all going to go in and then you can pay for yourself when you get there. That's how that works. You need to be there earlier than 9. You need to be there at like 8:45 so I can pay for everybody and we can all go in as a group. Okay? So again, this is open to anybody with school-age children that want to, would like to attend. They don't have to be homeschoolers, but it's open to anybody. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a really interesting, cool museum, kind of outdoor. Then we'll have the live amphitheater. And if you're going to go, please do sign up in the back. I know several names are on there, but if you haven't yet, please sign up in the back. Don't forget, we've got the Christmas Eve service coming up. So that's going to be obviously on December 24th at 7 p.m. And we'll just have a quick reading the Christmas stories, singing some traditional carols. And it's a great service to invite folks out. We will be having invites to start handing out, inviting people. Up the Christmas CDs this week as well. That's going to do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song for you this morning.
Song number 205, 1866.
goes around. We're going to read from Joshua chapter 1 this morning. From Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the Bible reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I will give them, and to give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and of the great sea, toward going down to the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go into the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And he said to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. And ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord God your God hath given them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan, before the sun rising." And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commanded us we will do, whithersoever thou sendest us we will go, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, again, thank you for the time that we have to come together for preaching your word. I pray that you be with us, Lord, that you help me. Lord, this morning, you help us to be obedient to your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm continuing on this morning with the sermon series entitled Lessons from Leaders, and as all of you probably well know, we've been going through that for several weeks, and just looking at all the major leaders, and you know, if we kind of go through the Bible chronologically, and just trying to pick out, you know, one attribute about a leader that we can apply to our lives. Again, I don't want people to get the idea that this is only intended for leaders, but this is something that, lessons from leaders that we can all learn. We're looking at Joshua this morning. And the one thing I really want to take away from Joshua is that Joshua was somebody that wasn't given to change. Joshua wasn't somebody that liked to just change things, just for the sake of changing things. That Joshua understood what he had been instructed, what he had been taught, and he decided to continue in those things rather than taking the opportunity he had now that Moses has passed off the scene, now that he's in charge, to just go ahead and change things and kind of do the things, you know, the way he saw fit. You know, Joshua was somebody saw the value in continuing in the things that he had been taught. He wasn't somebody that was just given to change, just wanted to be different for the sake of being different. This is an important lesson. You know, when we're taught and instructed in a good thing and in a right thing, you know, we should stick with that. We shouldn't be people who are always trying to just change things simply because we just like change. Obviously, there is a time and place to change. You know, we're coming up on the new year, right? So hopefully we're thinking about things that we want to improve in, areas we want to excel in, things that we would want to do better at in the coming year. You know, obviously nobody in the room has arrived. We probably all have areas in our lives that we need to improve in spiritually and in other areas of our life. Obviously there's a time and place for change, but you know, there's also a time and place to just stick with the tried and true, the good things that we've been instructed in, to not be somebody that's just given a change just for the sake of changing things. Okay? Joshua is somebody that stayed with what he had been taught. If you want to keep something there, well, actually, we'll just look in verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." You know, and that's something else that's worth pointing out, is that Joshua, he stayed with what? With what he had been taught, the things that he'd been instructed in. You know, he had been taught by Moses. He was Moses' minister. He was somebody who was very, you know, intimately connected to Moses. He was kind of Moses' right-hand man, if you know the story. For example, in Exodus, Joshua was referred to as Moses' minister, and he actually goes up into the Mount of God. So he's being instructed. You know, that's a detail that's given to us, not to just exalt Joshua necessarily, but to show us that, you know, we ought to be learning things from those that are going on ahead of us. We ought to be learning things from those that are, you know, instructing us and teaching us. We ought to be learning things from the older generation, people who have, who have already lived life, you know, those that are older than us, our parents, those that maybe have just more life experience, those that have been in the Christian faith longer, those that have been saved longer. Those are people that we should be looking to. Now, that's always guaranteeing that just because they're older and been around longer, that they're doing anything right. You know, but when you have a good example, like Joshua had of Moses, you know, we should learn from that individual, and we should then continue in it. I mean, what good is it if you learn all these things and then you just cast them by the wayside once it becomes your opportunity to go ahead and be the leader, to be the one that's going to be the example, right? What good would it have been for Joshua to have been up in that mount with Moses if he would have later just in life just said, well, you know, forget Moses, I'm just going to do things the way I want to do it. I mean, kind of like pulled an Aaron, right? Remember when Moses went up in the mount and Aaron, you know, he gave in to the people, they pressured him, and he ends up building the golden calf. We all know the story. You know, what good would it be if Joshua did something like that later in his life? If he just disregarded the word of God, just disregarded the commands, disregarded everything that he'd been instructed, it would all have been for naught. It would have been a waste. You know, it would have been better to take somebody else up in that mountain and instruct them, instruct somebody that understood the value of not changing, of sticking with what you had been taught, like Joshua did. You know, we don't want to be people that just deviate for no reason. You know, and this is what, you know, think about it. This is a great attribute of God. You know, it's great that we don't have to sit here day in and day out and wonder, you know, what God's like. You know, we know who God is. We can know more about God. We can learn more about God. And those things that we learn about God, you know, we can understand that those are things are not going to change. And it's great that salvation isn't changing. That salvation has always been by faith, that it will always be by faith. We don't have to sit here and scratch our heads, you know, am I still saved because I believed in Christ? Or is there something, or has God changed in some way? You know, we don't have to sit here and wonder about whether or not, you know, we can get right with God and live for the Lord. You know, we will always understand that God is always going to be tender and long-suffering and full of compassion. We understand that God is always going to be merciful and all of these things. That's part of God's nature. He doesn't change. You know, thank God for that. So you can see the value in not being somebody who just changes with the times and just goes along with whatever. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, I'll just read to you in verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule they follow, considering the end of their conversation." Say, look, the people who have spoken unto you the word of God, those that are teaching you and instructing you in the word of God, just like Joshua had a Moses, had somebody that was teaching and instructing him, drawing him closer to God, taking him up to the mount and instructing these things. He's saying those people are to be the people that you follow, meaning not just that you follow them in their own life, but even beyond them, that you follow on in their footsteps, that you take the things that you've learned of them and continue in them. That's what he's saying. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, I've alluded to this recently, you know, in another sermon, considering the end of their conversation. You know, why should I do what the preacher says? Why should I, you know, live the way the Bible tells me to live? Why should I try to follow the example that's being set before me? Well, consider the end of the conversation of those that are speaking unto you the Word of God. Consider the fact that the people that are instructing you in the Word of God, they don't have a lot of the problems that the world has. Obviously, you know, nobody's perfect, but you know what? I didn't have to sleep one off this morning. You know, I didn't have to wake up and, you know, have a Bloody Mary to get over the hangover to come here and preach to you guys. You know, I didn't have to You know, I'm not dealing with a lot of the problems that the world has. Consider the end of the conversation, the way they live their lives. Consider the fruit of their lives. That should motivate us to want to follow in those things and not just change them. And say, well, you know, I really like what they've got. Well, if you like the fruit, then you have to, you know, you have to have the roots. You can't have the fruit without the root, as the saying goes. You know, if you want the conversation that others have, then you obviously have to follow in their footsteps. You have to follow in their faith. And you can't change it. You can't say, well, I like that, but I'm just going to change this or I'm going to change that. You have to follow in these things. I mean, this is an attribute of God. It says in verse 8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, thank God that God isn't a God who changes, who just, you know, changes his mind suddenly. We just, you know, I used to be this way, but now I'm going to do things differently. Obviously, God, you know, can change his mind about how he's going to deal with man. God isn't some robot, but the attributes of God, the nature of God, is unchanging. That's a great attribute of God. It goes on and says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. You know, it's a good thing that our hearts be established, that we find the good way, wherein we ought to walk, and then continue in it, and not be somebody that's just given to change, moment by moment, day by day, carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? The cutting craftiness of men. That was what Joshua shows us. And there's obviously a lot of great lessons we can learn from Joshua as we look at his life. But Joshua was somebody that was instructed, taught, and then did not deviate from what he had been instructed in. He continued in that path. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Obviously, you know, as I said earlier in the sermon, the value of being instructed is that you will continue in it. What made Joshua a great leader was the fact that he continued in the things that he had been instructed in. That he didn't waste it, that he didn't just cast it off and change things. He saw the value of what he had been taught and continued in it. That's what gave that instruction value. You know, if you're instructed in something but you don't apply it, what good is it? You know, if you know what the Bible says, if you know what's expected of you, and then you don't do it, well, what good is the teaching then? It only has any value if you actually apply it to your life. You know, we ought to be people that look for that good way. Right, like it says in Jeremiah chapter 6, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He's saying, look, you need to ask for the old paths. You know, not the new path that's being forged out there, not the, you know, the new trendy thing, not the new thing. You got to be asking for the old thing, looking for the old thing. Where is the good way? You know, the tried and tested, the time tested, the proven good way, the old way. And he says, walk therein. Again, it's good to know where that path is, but if you're not going to walk in it, it's not really going to do you any good. But if you know where the good way is, and then if you walk in it, if you continue in that instruction, then you shall find rest for your souls. But you know, that's the requirement, is you have to actually walk down that path. You know, what good is all the instruction in the Word of God if we don't apply it to our lives? We just want to be people who want to do things differently, you know, for the sake of just being different, of not wanting to be a conformist or whatever. I mean, think about all the new things that are out there, Christian. Think about all the new Bibles that are out there. You know, all the new Bibles that are produced decade by decade, the multitude of different versions that are out there. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil, folks. That's the only reason why these books are being produced. You know, we have the time-tested and true Word of God in the King James Bible. English speaking people. This is the standard. This is the good way wherein we ought to walk in the King James Bible. We don't need some new translation where we can just profit some publishing company. You know, what about even in churches? Aren't churches trying to do things? A lot of churches have been doing things the new way. They've gotten away from the old traditional hymns. They've gotten away from old-fashioned preaching. You know, I had somebody recently say to me, like, oh, I heard you're a preacher. Yeah. I said, yeah, I'm a preacher. So, well, I hope you don't yell at anybody. I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. I mean, that's kind of what, isn't it funny? That's kind of what you're known for. If you say you're a Baptist preacher, you're one of these preachers that lifts up your voice like a trumpet, like the Bible tells you to. That you cry aloud and spare not, as the Bible tells you to. But what do we see today behind a lot of pulpits? You see a lot of people getting away. You know, this type of preaching is what's going by the wayside. This type of preaching is being changed, isn't it? where now I should be, you know, getting up here with a bunch of piercings and tattoos and graphic tees and some holy jeans. I don't mean holy, like Bible holy. I mean like literal holes in them, you know, in a glass pulpit, a faggy little microphone, and, you know, my little bar stool. I'll just share with you guys. You know, just have a permanent grin the whole time. Just make everybody do it warm with them. That's what's popular, right? That's what's new. But is that the good way where we ought to walk? Is that going to bring, is that what's going to give us rest to our souls? Or is it going to be the old time, you know, fire, brimstone, you know, fire, brimstone, hell, damnation, thus saith the Lord type preaching that's actually going to profit us? You know, is it going to be the face-ripping sermons that are actually going to give us the peace for our souls that we need? It's going to be the old way. It's going to be the old time preaching. The preaching, and you say, oh, you mean just like, just you Baptists. No, like the preaching of Jesus. You know, Jesus ripped face. You know, the preaching of John the Baptist, the preaching of Peter, the preaching of Paul, the preaching of, you know, the prophets that came before them. That's the old way. But what do you see today? You see the new way that's out there. The people are just changing them. Why are they changing? Just so they can build a crowd. Just so they can just bring people in. They're not actually offering those people anything. They're not going to benefit them at all. They're not going to even preach them the right gospel a lot of times. Well, you know what? You see a lot of these new churches just springing up all the time, doing things a new way. These new evangelical churches that just want to turn church into just, you know, a time of entertainment. You know, that's not what church is about. We're not here to entertain people. We're here to preach the Word of God so that you can be instructed in the way wherein you ought to walk. And if we decide, well, that's not what I want, I want something different, you know, you can have something different, but is it going to give you rest under your souls? You know, are you considering the end of the conversation of those that are speaking under the words of God? Is it going to benefit you? The value of being instructed is that you apply it. Not that you know it, but that you actually apply it to your life. That's when instruction has its value. You went to 2 Timothy 3, go there if you haven't already, but the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So many people today, they don't like, oh, I don't want to go to those churches where the preacher yells at me and tells me, thus saith the Lord. I go there and he tells me I got to do this and quit doing that. Well, you know, the Bible says a fool despises wisdom and instruction. You know, and instruction often comes in the form of reproof. He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know, the godly instruction we receive from our parents is only going to benefit us if we don't forsake it. You know, then it will be a chain about our neck. Then it will be an ornament of grace upon our head. But, you know, we just say, well, I want to do things differently. Okay, but you know what? No ornament of grace. No chain of gold about your neck. You know, it's going to be some kind of other bondage. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. This is something that's just reiterated throughout the Scripture. Old Testament, New, all the way through. Don't forsake the way in which you've been taught. Don't forsake the things that you've been taught and instructed in when it comes to the Word of God and even life itself. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, think about that. Continue in it. Where's the value in what he's been taught? It's the fact that he continues in it. What good is it if Timothy just said, well, I learned a lot from Paul, I'm just not going to do it anymore. You know, I'm going to change, I'm going to be different. You know, this is not an example that we see from leaders in Scripture. Joshua was somebody who was instructed and then continued in the things that he had been taught. Same for Timothy. He learned a lot of great things from the Apostle Paul, but Paul admonished him at the end to continue the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is life, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, a lot of people today, they don't like that last part. You know, they want to learn things, they want to know things, but they don't want to hear the reproof of instruction. You know, the reason why a lot of people don't continue in these things is because, or even bother learning them at all, is because a lot of times the things that we're instructed, the way we're instructed, the way we're taught, comes in the form of reproof. We're told, hey, you need to change. You need to get that right. You need to change things. You know, if you read the Bible, if you hear the Bible preached, you know, you're going to be told to change. it's all going to, you know, we're all going to get our toes stepped on. It's all going to fall in our lap at some point. We're going to have this big, glaring thing that we have to deal with in our life. And if we don't, you know, then we can't really say that we're going to be led, that we're going to walk in a good way. You know, it's reclusive instruction on the way of life. That's where the blessing is. It's through obedience. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He's saying, here's the things I want you to teach, Timothy. And that's what something he's just saying over and over again, Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, these things command and teach. Right? It says it again in 1 Timothy 4, I'll just read you verse 6. If thou put to the brethren in remembrance of these things, what things? The things that I have taught you, Timothy. These are the things that you have to put them in remembrance of. Teach the word of God, command and teach the word of God. We have to continue in these things. But the problem is today is that so many people, they just want to change. They just want to do things differently. And again, if there's something that needs to change, if we're doing something wrong, then obviously we need to change. But today, some people just immediately equate change with progress. They just say, oh, we're different, therefore we're progressive. Yeah, but sometimes you can change and actually go backwards. Sometimes you can be heading the right direction and then change direction and actually end up going in the wrong direction. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And you know, we're living in a day and age where people just, they're more interested in just being entertained. They're just more interested in being distracted. They're just more interested in something new. They just want to constantly have new things. They just constantly want to be, you know, stimulated 24/7. You know, they don't want to just stick with something and see it through to the end. They don't want to just follow on in the things that they've been instructed in. They want to change. You know, obviously some change is good, but not all change is progress. Just because you're changing something because the things are new, that doesn't make it a good thing. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 24, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. You should just meddle with people that are constantly given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of the boat. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 16. It says, now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Well, that's something we can really relate to in this city. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with it. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Excuse me. And they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. So it sounds like these people are well-intentioned. You know, that they want to hear what Paul has to say. But notice, it tells us why they wanted to hear it. Right? They're saying, hey, you know, you teach us what this new doctrine is. You know, because these are strange things. They haven't heard this before. You say, oh, wow, they must really be curious about the gospel. They must be really curious about the Bible. No, it tells us there in verse 21, here's why they wanted to know. For all the Athenians and strangers which were with them spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So it wasn't necessarily that their heart was inclined unto the gospel or that they were just really curious about Paul and the Bible and these things, spiritual matters. It's just that this was their custom. This is just what they did. They just spent their time in nothing else but to hear or to tell some new thing. You know, and we don't want to be people that are like this, that are just constantly looking for the new thing, constantly looking for something to change, constantly looking for, you know, some new direction or some new instruction. You know, we need to get in the old paths where it's a good way and then continue in them. But look, we won't continue in these things if we're people that are given to change. You know, don't be given to change. Don't automatically think that just because you're changing, you're progressing. Is that true? The Bible says in Proverbs, go back to Joshua 8. It says in Proverbs 22, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, there's some ancient landmarks that have been set that we ought not to move. You know, we don't need to change things just for the sake of changing. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need to do church different. You know, we can draw a bigger crowd. Yeah, well, what you win them with is what you got to keep them with. You know, if we win people with a bunch of newfangled methods, with a bunch of entertainment, you know, we just got a big screen up here, and then I could just use, you know, PG-13 and R-rated movies to illustrate my points, you know, we'd probably draw a crowd. You know, maybe we could get up here and start, you know, singing Bon Jovi songs. We could all get up and sing Living on a Prayer. We could get some lights in here. We could make it look like a, you know, we could get real entertaining, right? And that's new. It's different. And it would work. I'm telling you, draw a crowd. We have to knock down walls. We have to find another building. That's not progress. Because what good is it if all we're instructing people in is some new thing? If we're not teaching them the old way? If we're removing the ancient landmark which has been set? The ancient landmark is Bible preaching. The ancient landmark is thus saith the Lord. And you know, if people don't like it, well, that's on them. If people don't want church like this, well, that's their problem, not mine. That's their problem. That's not your problem. You know, and they can go out, and you know what? We'll consider the end of their conversation. Then we'll all get to the end of our life, and we can all look back and we can compare notes. We can say, well, let's compare between the people that continued in that good way, who found that old path and continued there, and let's get to the end of our conversation, and then let's look over here and see somebody else who said, well, I just want something new. I want something different. I don't want this old book. I don't want those old hymns. I don't want that old preaching. I don't want any of those old things. I want something new. Let's get to the end of our conversation. Let's get to the end of our lives, and then let's compare notes. And then let's see who's truly blessed. And I'll tell you right now, I already have the promise of the Word of God that if we continue in these things, then we will find rest unto our souls. That if we continue in the old way, the old path wherein is a good way, that's where the blessing is. It's not there in some new thing. Look, having a big crowd is not necessarily a blessing. As was expressed to me at one time, more people means more problems. You know, that's just human nature, which is fine. And I'm not, don't go the other direction either. And think that, you know, it's only good if you have a small church. I do not have a small church mentality. I'm not these people that just insist on having a small church. You know, that I'm not interested in just only having, I want this church to get as big as it's going to get without having to compromise the old things, without having to compromise and change just for the sake of drawing a crowd or change just for the sake of bringing people in. You know, I love this church get as big as it's going to get. I'm not against that. I'm not trying to, you know, have a small church. But I'm also not trying to just change things in order to have a big church. You know, I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. I'm not going to change the way we do things. I'm not going to remove the ancient landmark that has been set. You know, because that's what God is going to bless ultimately. You know, and when it comes to this idea of church growth and things like this, really, it's quality over quantity. You know, I'd rather have a small handful of people who truly love God and are zealous for the lost, that want to go out and preach the gospel, and that care about the things of God, that love the Word of God, that love the Lord. I'd rather have a small handful of people like that than a great big crowd of people who could just take or leave the King James Bible, who aren't really interested in going out into their community and preaching the gospel. You know, or just put a hanger on our door. I mean, isn't that sad when you have, you know, just yesterday I come home from church, or from church, from soul winning. You know, we came down here on a Saturday and went out and knocked doors and preached the gospel to people. You know, then I go home and the Baptist church, I'm talking independent, fundamental Baptist church, King James only, that's literally 5 minutes away from my house, came to my house. And did they knock on the door? Nope. They left the door hanging. My wife said, yeah, I saw them come to the door. They never knocked. Yeah, we were out there Saturday, you know, just Saturday knocking doors, and we went by a whole group of what? JWs that are out there knocking doors. Yet the old, you know, these Baptists who actually had the truth are forsaking the old way of soul winning and just going out and putting a dish hanger on the door. Could you say you're against door hangers? I'm not. But while you're there, why don't you knock the door and preach the gospel while you're at it? Say, well, you're already saved. Yeah, but they're not knocking my door. They're not knocking my neighbor's door, and my neighbor's door, and my other neighbor's door. You know, they're getting, you know, these Baptist churches are getting away from soul winning. They're getting away from knocking doors. They just want to get everybody in their church so they can just preach them down an aisle to some altar. You know, this isn't an altar here, folks. I know we got a step here, okay? That's not an altar. You're going to start doing altar calls? No. There will never be an altar call in this church as long as I'm behind this pulpit. Period. get a bunch of people up here, you know, sticking their rear end up in the air, and everybody behind them. It's crazy. It's nutty. But that's where they're at in these old Baptist churches. Just preaching down an aisle. You know, don't go out there and actually preach the gospel to anybody. Why? Because they've forsaken the old path. They're removing the ancient landmark. They're changing. They're saying, well, it just doesn't work anymore. Could have fooled me. Oh, you can't build a church like that. I'm not trying to build a church like that. I'm trying to accomplish the work of preaching the gospel. I'm trying to fulfill the Great Commission. Is that why we go soul winning? Is to build a church? No, it's not. I don't go soul winning so I can get people in here. Look, people come as a result of soul winning. Praise God. And I'll do the follow-up, and I'll go talk to people after they get saved, and give them Bibles, and just stand and just be ready to have them say, I'm not interested. And just be, you know, have them tell me, I'll come to church and then not be ready when I show up. Or say, oh, I changed my mind. You know, and I'll just brace myself for that. But that's not why I'm going soul winning. I'm going soul winning because that's the old way wherein we have to walk. Didn't Jesus say, that's just something the Baptist started doing. That's just something they started doing, you know, Jack Hiles came around. I'm pretty sure Jesus was the one who said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm sure that was Christ that said that. You know, and I'm pretty sure that would be considered an old way. That would be an ancient landmark. I'm pretty sure it was the Lord who told Israel they were to be a light unto all the Gentiles. That they were, you know, the Gentiles would see them following God, see God's blessing on them, and say, hey, we want some of that. Teach us about your God. Pretty sure that's an ancient landmark. Being a testimony, being a city that is set on a hill which cannot be hid, being a light that's not put under a bushel. That's an ancient landmark. I'm not going to move it in this church. And if it's not going to build the church, I don't care. You know, that's what God is going to bless. And by the way, let me just say this. I don't want anyone who's really get this mentality. We're not Calvinists here, that God is just going to automatically just bring your people to this church. Is that how you ended up in church here? Just one day you woke up and like, and just came and like, well, I can't, what's happening? Why am I driving my Bible and getting dressed? What's going on? I'm in the car, I can't control. Oh, I'm in this building. Is that how it happened to you? No, you decided you wanted to come here. Somebody told you, right? So let's not go to the other extreme and get this mentality. Well, if we go soul winning, and that's it, then God's just going to bring people here like magic. God's just going to take over people and push them in the door. Look, God will get us out there. People, you know, find out about us. God can engineer circumstances. I get that. But, you know, God, we're not Calvinists either. So we still have to do our part if we want to build a church. I wish there were more people here. Okay, who have you invited? Oh, that's your job. Is it? Is it? It's just my job to invite people to church? I mean, you don't know anybody? I'm the only one with friends. I'm the only, you know, you probably have more friends than I do. To be honest. You know, I'm a bit of a hermit. You know, I show up the building and I go home and hide in my office all week. You know, maybe shame on me. Maybe I do need to go out there more. You know, I'm out there knocking doors and we follow trying to get people in here. But you know, it's not just my job to build the church. You know, it's all of our job. You know, if you want this church to grow, what are you doing to help it grow? You know, are you inviting people? Are you trying to get people out? Are you preaching people the gospel? Are you inviting friends, family, co-workers? You know, that's one way that's going to grow. Because I'm telling you, God's not just going to take over people and shove them through the door because we went soul winning. God isn't just going to bless our efforts. You know, we have to drag people to church if you want it to grow. Okay? You know, and, you know, being here would be a huge step in helping this church grow. Being consistent to church so that when people do show up, they're like, oh, there is something going on here. You know, I know it's a holiday and some people are away and we've got a little bit of a smaller crowd this morning. But it doesn't have to be like that every Sunday. Okay? Look, I'm not removing an ancient landmark of soul winning. But I'm not delusional about what soul winning is and what it isn't. Don't think that, you know, just because we change something, that we're making progress. That's not how Joshua succeeded, is it? Joshua was probably, you know, I guess I can't say one of the most, but with no doubt, Joshua was an incredibly successful leader. I mean, think about what he accomplished. Joshua literally took over the promised land and divided the inheritance. You know, he fulfilled you know, that that God's will that God had had, you know, since he brought them out of Egypt after wandering in the wilderness. You know, Joshua was the one that went in there and conquered. He's a great, powerful leader. Well, what do you attribute his success to? I'll tell you what I attribute Joshua's success to is his faithfulness. To sticking to the tried, the time-tested and truth. Not just giving, being somebody just change things. Not just kind of like, well, I'll just go along with Moses while I'm in the survey. I'll just go along until the old man passes off the scene. And then once I take over, they're going to do things my way. No, he was faithful to what he'd been instructed in. You know, about it. They didn't consult the Lord. They just kind of thought, oh, AI is going to be easy. And he could send some guys up there and they all get slaughtered. And then he consults the Lord. Then he seeks God. God says it's because, you know, someone in the camp is taking the curse. You know the story. And eventually they find out it's Achan. They slaughter him and his whole family and burn everything that he owns and piles of rocks upon him. Pretty hardcore story. But, you know, he corrects it. After he figures that out, he gets back on course. And he goes and defeats Ai, and then afterward, notice what he does. He rehearses not what something new, but what he's already been taught. He says, man, we need to stop here. Before we go any further, let's learn our lesson and let's be reminded of the things that we have been instructed in. It says in verse 30, Joshua 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar on the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man could lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings on the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. So after he kind of corrects course, you know, he kind of gets off course a little bit. He kind of corrects course after this, you know, the matter of Ai. And then he builds an altar. He says, we're going to seek God. So he thought, well, let me come up with my own way of building an altar. You know, I want to get a hold of God. I want to get God's blessing. Let me just do it the way I think I should do it. No, it says very clearly that he did it as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. I mean, he's going through scripture. Okay, how was it again that we're supposed to build this altar? How is it that we're supposed to worship with God? Let's get into the Word of God and find out. Just make your life all about money, right? Make your life all about, you know, the Bible has some strong warnings about riches. Go read 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Next year. Let me just go ahead and break it to you. There's nothing new in there. It hasn't changed. It's still these and thou, still thus saith the Lord. It's still chronologies. It's still hard to pronounce names and places. And it's still powerful truths. It's still life-altering truths. It's still things that will touch your heart. It's still things that will motivate you and inspire you. It's still things that will rebuke you and instruct you. It's all still there. It hasn't changed. Praise God for that. This book hasn't changed. That's where it is. That's where the success is. Where was Joshua's success when he started to get off course? When he got back to what Moses had taught him. When he got back into the Word of God. That's when he started to find success. That's when God said, okay, now I'll bless it. When he started to build that altar and said, how are we supposed to do it according to the law of Moses? Not trying to come up with some new things and just doing things his own way. So, well, what was it that we were taught to do? Look, that's where your spiritual success lies in 2023. Is in getting in this book and doing what it says. You want to have success in your parenting? It's here. You want to have success as an employee? It's here. You want to have success in any area of your life? Apply this book to it and you'll have success. You'll succeed. It goes on and says in verse 32, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and the officers and their judges stood on the side of the ark and on that side before the priests and Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over Mount Gerizim and over half against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people. Saying, you're going to bless the people, then you're going to do it just the way Moses said to do it. Not some new way. I mean, he's doing exactly the way he had been instructed by Moses. You know, Joshua's looking at Moses and saying, what a blessed life. He's considering the end of his conversation. And he's saying, I'm going to walk in that same way. I'm not going to try to find some new way. I'm not going to do things differently than Moses. I'm going to do the way Moses did it. You know, look at the way other people are succeeding and say, well, pattern yourself after that. Instead of trying to come up with some new thing. It says in verse 34, and afterward he read all the words of the law. He read the words of the law. He didn't say anything. He set the Bible aside and just, you know, just shared. He just preached 40 days of grace. Look, I'm all about the love and the grace and everything else, but, you know, we need to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Because that's where we have to walk. The blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word, verse 35, of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So he preached the whole word of God to the entire congregation, men, women, and children, young and old. See, why are you a family-integrated church? Because, well, there you go. You know, we believe in having the little ones in here to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Well, it's kind of over their head. They'll get it. They'll get something out of it. You'd be surprised how much little kids get out of it. I mean, my wife's always telling me, you know, my son says this, and your daughter's caught that. Maybe they're not going to, you know, rehearse verbatim the entire sermon, but most adults can't do that. That's why you want a little secret about preaching. It's try to make it about one thing. One thing. Because that's typically all people ever get. Because that's just human nature. That's how we are. Try to get people to understand one thing. If you can walk out that door this morning with one thing, you know, that's going to help you. Instead of just trying to back up the truck and like, all right, let's just learn the entire Bible this morning. It's not practical, right? What's the one thing this morning? You know, stick with the time past it and prove it. Don't try to be somebody that's just going to do things for the sake of doing something new. Don't change for the sake of changing. Stick with what's been proven with the whole law of God. And that's what made Joshua successful. It was his faithfulness to the things that he had already been instructed in. You know, he saw the way Moses handled himself, conducted himself. I mean, Moses had a pretty good death. Moses' death was pretty good. He had a pretty good life, pretty exciting life. You know, Joshua's sitting there watching the whole thing. I mean, probably better than anybody else. He had a front row seat with Moses. I mean, if Moses at the end is buried by God himself. I mean, he's coming down from the mount. He's got, you know, his face is shining. He's got to wear a veil over his face because his skin is literally shining from the amount of time he's spent in the presence of God. He's seeing God the Father's hinder parts. I mean, he's getting a glimpse. I mean, he's seeing all just the magnificence and glory of God. And he's some more than any other man, probably. You know, and Joshua's seeing all that and saying, man, I want some of that. I'd love to have a life like that. Well, you know what, Joshua? Then you're going to have to do it the way Moses told you. If you see somebody else that has a blessed life, then you're going to have to do it the way that they told you. I mean, I remember when I was a young man, I got around some godly family, some man who had, you know, some godly children. I just thought to myself, man, I'd love to have that. And then so what I did is I looked at that man and said, well, how did he live his life? And he lived his life according to the Word of God. And that's how he got these things. And God blessed him. You know, you can't do something differently, expect the same results. His faithfulness was what made him successfulness. His faithfulness to the Lord and not just vain tradition. Okay, we'll close in Judges chapter number 2. There's Judges chapter number 2. Because remember in the beginning, in Joshua, where we started, Joshua is referred to as the son of Nun, or Moses' minister. He's referred to as Moses' minister in the beginning of Joshua. And then he goes on, and what do we see? We didn't cover the entire arc of his life this morning, obviously, but right away, as soon as he's going to the promised land, he's learning very quickly that he has to continue to do things the way he's been instructed. That he can't just come up with some new way of doing things. That he has to get back to the law of Moses. He has to do things exactly the way Moses told him to do it in the law of God. He has to do the way God instructed Moses. He has to do things according to all the word of God, right? As he's been instructed. And then he has success. Then we know the stories. He goes on, he defeats kings, he conquers the land, he divides the inheritance. And then he gets to the end of his life, and notice he's no longer referred to as Moses' minister, but actually as a servant of the Lord. It says in Judges chapter 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, being 110 years old. So again, in the beginning, he's referred to, when you first see him in Joshua chapter 1, it's Moses' minister. At the end of his life, he's called what? The servant of the Lord. Because ultimately, Who he was serving was God. The reason why he did things the way he did them is because that's the way God wanted them done. It wasn't just because of some vain tradition of man. It was because that was what was written in the Word of God. So obviously, if there's things in our lives that we're doing that have no biblical basis, you know, unless they're harmless or benign in some way, they probably need to change. You know, if we're just doing things, if we're just going to live our life just the way, you know, others that went before us lived, if we're just going to repeat the patterns of the previous generation just because that's the way they did it, that's probably not a good way to live. What we need to do is we need to go, okay, what did they do that was right? How was what they did lined up with the Bible? I mean, that's, Joshua did that. He saw what Moses did and said, oh, that's what's in the law of God. This is how Moses said in the law of God. And that's what he was following. That's why he gets the end of his life and he's called the servant of the Lord. Because he's not just following some vain tradition. Look, if those that have gone before us have made a mess of things, it's not following that vain tradition. You know, well, I just do it that way because that's why Daddy did it. Well, you know what? Daddy was this, that, and the other thing. And maybe you need to change that. Well, I just do things that way because that's just the way I was brought up. Well, if it's contrary to the Word of God, go ahead and change it. But if it's not contrary to God, if it's in line with the Word of God, don't change it. It's right. Keep it. Walk in that way, and you will have good success. So have the blessing of God in your life. You know, we need to change only that which doesn't line up with God's Word. Don't just change things for the sake of changing. That's how Joshua had his great success. By being faithful to all that which was written in the law of God. So go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity that we have in this life, Lord, to serve you, Lord, and not to just wonder what it is that's expected of us or what you desire from us, Lord, that we have an entire book that has been given to us, inspired and preserved, and, Lord, kept unto all generations, Lord, it's there to instruct us and guide us and lead us, that we can know all about your unchanging nature. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people that change when needed, and Lord, that we stay faithful when required as well, Lord. That you help us to be people that seek that good and old way wherein we ought to walk. Pray you just bless us as we go down. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song before we go.
Start our hymnals to song number 426.